The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. October the 15th, 2017, and I'm overdriving. Here we go. There we go. This should be better. Yes. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. This is Ever Beyond Radio, broadcasting through Wolf Spirit Radio, and a multitude of other outlets that hopefully will be able to accommodate the vast number of listeners who are tuned in right now. Also hello to everybody who's going to be listening on YouTube in the near future. We have a single hour show today, which what I'm going to do is, once it's played through, I'm going to, throw it back into the player and repeat the first hour again, because it's always worth listening to, Simon's stuff, twice. And then we can continue with our normal schedule. So, good evening, Simon. How are you?
Hi, JP. Hello to everybody. Lovely to, you know, be back. Always seems 2 weeks seems too long, and then other times it seems too soon. Yes, it's a 1 hour show tonight because this is my last show in my old house. It's not the last show ever, it's just the last show in my old house, and I am really wrapping things up, bubble wrap, cardboard boxes, and I'm a little bit behind schedule, so I thought, well look, we'll just do the 1 hour. And then I can get back to wrapping up. I'm moving on the Thursday. So, you know, I do hope that the audience aren't too cross or disappointed. I always try to do the 2 hours. I've always tried to do the show. But tonight, I just need to do that. So that's why it's an hour show. It's nothing to do with JP falling asleep. It's purely and simply that I've got lots of wrapping and bubble wrapping and boxing.
That's usually at the beginning of the show.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, it's going to be quite, I want to do obviously the update. I've held fire a little bit on the main shooting that we had a little while back in America with so many people, reported as killed and wounded. I held back because there was a great deal of conflicting information. I never doubted for one moment. I knew it was a false flag, and truthfully, I think just about anybody who's awake also knew that. I think we've got to be very, very careful about saying that nobody died. I actually believe that people did die, and I believe that people were injured, but I do not believe anything like the numbers that they've reported. So what I wanted to do was to just give you some information which, to the best of my knowledge, is not out there. It's been handed to me. But we'll start off by reminding ourselves that President Kennedy was murdered. I don't like the word assassinated because the word assassinated has some form of legal authority to it. It's a state assassination. It was obviously in President Kennedy's case, but it was murder. And we were all told that it was one shooter, and then conveniently the one shooter himself was killed. So there was nobody to stand in a testifying box. There was nobody to answer questions. And so the only menu meal was the establishment's view of it. So it was very interesting that, again, on this most latest false flag, we were told there was one shooter. That was the major story of the early days. There was one shooter. And, of course, to use an American term, he was a patsy. He was a fall guy. What I wanted to say was that there were at least two shooters in the hotel and probably three. Now, I know for a fact that the two hotels opposite, official hotel security staff chased bogus, fake hotel security staff around their hotels. So in the two opposite hotels, I'm deliberately not mentioning their names, in the two hotels opposite, there were guys with guns who were dressed as if they were hotel security. Now, the shooting that occurred either happened prematurely, i.e. the shooting from the major building opened up too early, or the other teams who were going to be in the other two hotels didn't get to their positions in time, forcing the first group of shooters to open fire. If you can imagine the plan of the area, they wanted a crossfire, not just a crossfire, they wanted a pyramid fire, which is very interesting because we know this was all taking place in the shadow of the pyramid, the big hotel. So there were two people in one hotel, two people in another hotel, and in the major one between two and three. Now, because of the alertness of the official hotel security, these other teams of people did not get into position. So it left the dilemma with this other group. Do they wait and wait and wait, or did they open fire? And so they did open fire. You can actually, on some of the video, see muzzle flashes if you look really carefully. The elite are trying to take those down so that you just get the official version. But there are some posted by people who had good quality cell phones with good quality cameras, and you can actually see muzzle flashes coming from at least two windows. But I've been told there were three people in there. Two were firing, the third wasn't yet in position. The guy who has taken a rap for this, you know, you can be dead and take a rap, can't you? There's some talk that he worked for the FBI. What I wanted to make clear was that he was not an agent of the FBI, but he was paid by the FBI to pass information to them. Now, organizations like the NSA and the CIA, they work at a very high level. They don't normally rub shoulders with the riffraff, the mafia, the drug dealers, the muggers. They don't rub shoulders with those guys. But the FBI do, because they're a police force. And one of the major things that the last 50, 60 years that the FBI has done is it's found low life, and I'm using that word deliberately, it's found low life and thought, this is a guy that the CIA could use or the NSA could use, particularly the CIA. So they've funneled and passed this information of these people that they've worked with to the CIA and made an introduction. And this is what happened with our fall guy. He was paid by the FBI. He was a gun enthusiast. He did actually buy and sell illegal firearms, unregistered weapons. He wasn't a arms dealer in the true sense of the word, but he could find unregistered weapons for certain individuals. And he was proficient with a gun. But if you ask any vet who could look at the situation back in the Kennedy days of the grassy knoll and the library building, the repository building, and say, could one shooter have achieved those hits? You look at this situation here, and anyone who's got any experience of rifles would think that's a pretty tall order to do what these people are doing. If you haven't had firearms, and certainly if you haven't used a rifle, one of the hardest things to do is to fire downwards, because you have to take a account of gravity on the bullet. So firing from a high position to a low position is actually incredibly difficult. And I always laugh when I see the lovely, fantastic 1950s westerns where John Wayne or whoever else with his six shooter is up on the Rocky Mountain shooting down, and every bullet counts. And it's Hollywood. So anyone with a gun knows there had to be more than one shooter here. The organizations were involved, but I need to tell you that it wasn't the major organizations. In other words, the top man in the CIA, the top man in the FBI was not aware of this. This was an operation undertaken without their say-so. And I can tell you absolutely that the President Trump had no knowledge of it. These are the very people who would like to see the Clintons, or at least the Clinton-type energy, back in the White House. So I wanted everyone to realize that without a shadow of a doubt, as far as I'm concerned, this was a false flag. It was designed as a marker because the next section I'm going on to is a potential for a quite a large event Others are talking about it as well. I think we're looking at the second week in November. Now, here we are. Let's go back a bit. We're in the middle of October, and we haven't had a financial crash yet. Where's that financial crash, Simon? You and everyone was predicting it. Yes, absolutely right. But if you look back over the last four or five shows, I've been talking about stretching the timeline, and I tried to give everyone a visual picture of a piece of rubber or a piece of elastic, and you pull it and it changes the time. And I said that I'd be rather concerned if whoever it was able to alter the time. They are altering the time. Not significantly, but enough. They are pushing situations forward. I also had it confirmed that Deutsche Bank are doing some very interesting deals, which could give them the financial stability to be able to see off any crash for Europe. In America, the Dow Jones, it just goes on climbing and climbing and climbing. Where the money is coming from, goodness knows, only knows. There can't be any shares and bonds left to buy. It's so high. You know, what are they doing? Sharpening pencils, and then are they selling the leads from the pencils? What's going on? So there's this boom, 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 boom is still going on, and there has to be a bust. But there has been some, and those of you listening to this show who are very sensitive will, over the past few weeks, have felt a tension in the air, a change unlike anything we've had before. Not dramatic in the sense that it hits you around the face, but you're just aware of it. And the timeline is being dragged out. And there are now a number of people in Intel who are aware of a potential situation in the first, probably second week in November, which is more to do with false flag than a financial crash. What we saw perpetrated at the hotels was a very mild drill, a practice drill. FEMA drills were taking place, of course. I'm sure everyone's aware of that. FEMA drills were taking place. And they were looking to see how modern technology and actors on the ground could hoodwink how many millions of people. You know, they didn't do 9/11 to hoodwink people like that. They did it to steal gold out of the building that was never hit, that collapsed, the old CIA building. That was one of the major reasons to make off with all the gold. This incident was part of a satanic, it's part of our routine, but also let's see how easy we are to get away with that. So that was a big story, and I hadn't really covered it in detail, and I wanted to cover it because I wanted to give a lead on that. And also to say that people have been injured. There were genuine injuries, so don't think that everybody was a crisis actor. There certainly were actors in there, but there were genuine people who were trampled and caught and stampeded. Talk about the fires in California. Been watching that. It's a very grave situation. I just see that as an ongoing attack on California. The continual drought, the continual distrust of anything from the Californian area. Californians, love them or hate them, are very, very independent people. And I've always said that New Yorkers and those from California actually, although they don't understand it, they actually share a lot in common, and that they are resistant to the system. Now, a New Yorker will, well, I suppose all Americans stick the finger up, but a New Yorker will be quite in your face. I'm not doing that. You can take a running jump. I'm not going to do that. Californians are more, well, you know, well, maybe tomorrow. But the reality is that both of those states have a mindset which is very independent. The problem for the Californians is that their state is like a small country. It's a huge resource. And so has been attacked and hammered. So my heart goes out to these people because this is something that needn't have happened. It's part of an ongoing attack on California. California was one of the states that started to talk about asking for its share of the gold back and wanted that back. And we've always looked at those states that started to demand the gold back, and then they started to get hit with it. So we have these unrolling situations, and I'm afraid that these attacks are going to increase. They're not going to go away. They're going to increase because the bad guys doing this are not getting the results they're looking for. There was a time, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, when if you pull something like this off, communities would have collapsed. There would have been a terrible situation. And the authorities could have perhaps come in with martial law or whatever else they wanted to do. But it doesn't have that effect. Human population is becoming more resilient, and we're also becoming more aware. So what they're doing is they're having to up their game as they see it. So I'm sorry, but it does look like there are going to be more of these things. And let us just remind ourselves that the bad guys are not all locked up in prison. The reptilians haven't left the planet, because if they had, these sort of things wouldn't happen. We still have to fight for justice. We still have to hold true. We still have to be strong with ourselves and understand that this is a game that's playing out, and it has to play out. And it's very difficult to say that to someone who's lost a loved one. They would say, well, why does it have to play out? Why did my sister or my brother or X, Y, or Z have to be harmed? And I can't answer that. What I can tell you is that this is playing out. This is the way it is. And the sooner that these human race wakes up and throws off the shackles of these very evil people, the better. So that was it, really. Now we've only got the hour, so I want to crack on. Oh, let's just let the police car go by. We can crack on with our questions. Thank you, JP.
Well, yes. Let's have a look here. So I'll try and see if I can scan through these beforehand. And I got them from this morning. And so here's a question. This is from Christian in Romania. Simon, if I start listening to high-frequency music, would that have an effect on my vibration? Because it raised my vibration, and would it happen temporarily or permanently?
Oh, good question.
And what is high-frequency music? Was there more music like that? Like Pinky and Perky and the Chippendales?
Something about the Muppets, really.
Yeah.
I know what, maybe, I don't know if this person is English is a second language. And
no, he's from Romania, so I mean, right. it's, but yes, the right. Frequency in terms of its intent, right. I suppose.
I only speak one language, so I've got the highest regard for anybody who can speak more than one language. The answer is yes, providing that the source it's coming from is as pure as you can get, and the intent behind it. Let me just say, for instance, if you were to take a recording of the sea, then you would say that was, you know, high vibrational because it's part of Gaia and it's part of the planet. But if you recorded a piece of the ocean that had 1 million tons of oil dumped into it, you would not get the same vibration frequency. That's why we have to be very careful where this music purports to come from. And the answer is yes, but you have to meditate along with it. And you have to, you don't give your sovereignty away, but what you have to do is to open up the ability, your frequency, to take the key, to take that so that it's working with you and helps to develop and enhance you. But that's why you've got to make sure that what you're listening to is not some trick. I mean, you know, if I was, and I'm not, but if I was a bad guy, I could produce loads of CDs or DVDs or whatever and sell them at $1 and say, you know, Buddhist music or panpipes. And you go and get that, and you're actually being programmed by someone being very, very nasty. So we do have to be incredibly careful. But yes, if you have a good source, then it will work with you remarkably. So yes, go for it.
Good. Yes. Yes. People say, "Oh, this is good music," and it's terrible. Anyway, ETs, or what else, from Eva. I had contact with two ETs. One had a very wide face, not very long in length. She had very large eyes with no pupils, and they were shining white or bluish. It had a very small nose, but the mouth was larger. The second kind where a group of pure white beings in a white room, male and female, very tall, and it looked like they had something on their heads. Can you tell us who these beings might be?
Right, the first one, the first being, it would be very interesting to be clear on this. If the first being had a flat head, if you took like a steaming iron or a flat iron and you flattened someone's head, so it was like a tabletop. If they had a very flat head and the sides of the head flared out and it didn't come down to a triangle shape, but it sort of was like that. If the skin was very white, not flabby skin, but not tight, sort of, it's very difficult to describe it. However, that's the best bit I can get. If it had a flattish type head, then we're looking at a race that can trace ancestry to humanity, is not reptilian, and has been, I can't give you the name of it, I don't know the name of it, but it's lived an independent life. It's kept itself to itself, but over the last 50 years has begun to interact on this planet. It's not part of a confederation or a galactic empire. It's a very, shy isn't the right word. It's a very independent, quiet type of creature that, will come down and work with individuals on an as and when basis. So that's that one. The other one, I'm afraid that there could be several races that would fit the second one. The first one is more interesting because the first one's very spiritual. So if that being is involved, I would say that was a positive experience, not a negative one. And I've forgotten what the second part of the question was, JP.
The second kind were a group of pure white beings in a white room,
yes.
Male and
yes,
female,
yes.
Very tall. It looks like they had something on their heads.
Heads, right. We do have to be careful because, as we've seen in this 3D world, good people can put on a garb, make themselves look bad, and bad people can put on a garb and make themselves look good. And we would think, why would they do that? But there's no accounting for some people. But what we really have to look for is bad people pretending to be good. And so we have a vision on this planet that anything that's white is positive. That's a racist element given to us. But when we take that away and we look at the energy of the purity of light, if we understand that, then yes, white light is good, but we mustn't just judge on appearances. We don't know that person was looking at the genuine article. Could have been looking at a screen memory, could have been looking at something very unpleasant that was making itself look very good, or it could have been the real deal. You're looking at ringlets on the head, like crowns. And these things that they wear on the head actually are an energy device. It's not a communicator in the true sense of the word, although I suppose it could enhance their telepathic capabilities. You would look at it and see it as a crown. And the history of these people is one that is harked back. You know, I've been watching these wonderful Blake 7 repeats. Well, I've actually got the DVDs, but the old early 80s sci-fi TV show called Blake 7, and I saw that when they first came out. And they have these bracelets around their wrists which help them to teleport, and they can communicate with them, etc., etc. So the circle has for a long time been a symbol of unity and joining up. So what you're looking at is two beings that have some form of royal connection, but that has now de-evolved, thankfully, into more of a sort of a historical hangover from a past life, and is more to do with the maintenance of that individual's body when it's outside of its own environment. So these circulates on their heads are not true crowns. They are the life support system. I think that's the best way I can put it. When you're traveling through interdimensions, you have to be an energy form. So positive, I think, not negative, providing they are what they seem. So I hope that helps.
Excellent. Very interesting. Saturn from Burnley. Are the rings around Saturn really artificial? And if so, who made them and for what purpose?
Well, look, let's start much earlier. if anybody had the skill and the technology to roll this version of the moon into place, then frankly, anything's possible. And I do shake my head, and we all know that the thing about the moon keeps the same side to us, except perhaps new listeners who are learning, and you're very welcome, of course. But the fact that the most academically inclined, the most highly awarded astronomers just seem to glaze over the fact that this is the only object that doesn't turn properly to us, keeps one side. So if somebody was capable of creating a hollow orb like the moon, then something that was far older could create something far more powerful. If you look at the spots, Jupiter's got a spot, Saturn's got a spot, they're all at a very interesting degrees angle on those planets. And these are portals. These are portals that create energy. And they share something with the pyramid, the Great Pyramid on Earth, in terms of to do the angles and the latitude. I don't know, truthfully, how much of planets such as Saturn are genuine. I don't know how much of it's real and how much is artificial. Because remember, you could take real organic material and you could construct that into something. Now, is that fake or is that real? How do you judge it? If something's been placed in an orbit, placed in a set position, then we should be very, very suspicious. And if you look at the solar system, it does look as if it's been laid out. It does look rather suspicious to me. But as to whether Source, God, has created that, or whether some intellect greater than the reptilians has created that, that I don't know. Will mankind or humankind ever find the answer? Perhaps one day they will. But I think we are very wise to be very skeptical of whatever we are presented with. And we need to, like I've always said on our radio shows, you just ask your own heart, ask your own soul, and does this look right? Does it feel right? Some of these planets are very genuine, clearly, and very positive. You've got to look back to astrology. You've got to look back to the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans, and before them, Babylonians and Sumerians. And, you know, why were they giving God's names to these planets? What is the link here? And so there, I think, is a very useful form of research for anyone who's got a little bit of time. And that might actually, in a strange way, give you some answers about Saturn and Mars and Jupiter. So the rings around Saturn play a part. Are they made of ice? Are they made of crystal? Are they an aerial? Do they reflect? Do they transmit? Certainly, I believe that a lot of the control elements on Earth are being beamed, for want of a better word, from outside of the solar system, but are being generated within the solar system. And some of these planets that we, as school children, have been taught in a very 3D way, I believe some of them are part of the control mechanism. So yes, I don't think that in this case that the rings are actually genuine. Thank you.
There's something about them being used as a transmitter.
Yes, that's what I say about an aerial. You know, I think some of the most eminently well-paid and lots of letters after their names, astronomers, will say that it's made of, you know, ice and rock debris and stuff like that. But I believe that they are crystalline. And the crystals are vibrating. When we look at a deep level at crop circles, when the corn in a crop circle bends, it does so because, and that's why Wiltshire is such a or was such a big place for crop circles because in the soil over the hills, the main rock is chalk, although some Jurassic rock. And in the soil are very, very small particles of quartz. Not nanoparticles, but they're very small pieces of quartz grains. Now, when these quartz grains are hit with a frequency, it sets up a resonant field, and it's that that reprograms the DNA or RNA in the corn and makes the corn bend to the correct shape. So it's using natural quartz crystals in the ground to create genuine crop circles. I'm not talking about the ones that Team Satan makes with the black shadow beings. This is the ones that the good guys have made to open a communication with certain people on Earth. So it was the quartz crystals that were activating. And, you know, we as a people on this planet have got to get back to the same level of understanding that the Atlanteans had if we really need to work out what crystals can do for us. But not to make the same mistake that the Atlanteans made. It's absolutely no coincidence that Seiko and Bulova were one of the first watch companies. I think it was actually Bulova, 1967.
The Accutron.
Oh, well, thank you.
I remember actually, the ads for that.
All right, okay. Well, I did say that you came out of the Ark with Noah.
I built it for him. I did the radio.
Okay, so that's what the two giraffes' heads were. You were sort of angling about to get a good
antennas.
Signal.
Yeah, like rabbit's ears.
So they had a tuning fork, and they realized that quartz as a crystal had this amazing property. Now, the Roswell spacecraft that crashed in 1947 had an array at the very front of its nose, which were oblong, I could just say slabs of crystalline material, which were the sensors. So they're not like the sensors that we would have on a jet fighter or a battleship. These were totally crystalline sensors. And it's only literally just now the beginnings of understanding what crystals can do. But if you went back to the Atlantean times, then you could understand there was time travel capability with that, or at least seeing into the future. It's not just a communication device. So crystals are very important, and if you were going to have a transmitter or an aerial, you would need a vast amount of crystals operating in that famous old circle so that you could build up your wave around and around and around. So, yeah, absolutely. So spot on.
So here's the thing about crystals that not a lot of people might. Here's the thing. Do you know Captain Picard in Star Trek has a crystal that appears in 70 episodes? Have you ever noticed he's holding a crystal?
No.
Check it out the next time you see Star Trek. Captain Picard has this. Go on.
Well, what's one of the episodes? I can't sit there.
Well, I'll see if I can dig some out, right?
It'll be something like the hidden crystal or something like
that. No. It's just, whenever he gives a speech, or when he's talking to his people in the chat room, in his ready room, he's holding a crystal, and nobody has noticed. But you can actually buy one of these things online.
Oh, well, okay. Well, how wonderful.
they've made a kind of replica of it. Anyway, meanwhile, back to important things, fracking in Yorkshire.
Right.
Now, this is from Carolyn. This is a very interesting take on it. Is there a cloaking spell at work? Here's the question. Hi, Simon and JP. I'm a local who has begun visiting and protesting at the site of the UK's first intended frack near Pickering in beautiful rural North Yorkshire. We know fracking brings horrific health implications, the shattering of the earth communication system, and the destruction of the local industries of farming and hospitality. Third Energy's intention of building 950 fracking wells will see the industrialization of one of the most stunning and unspoiled parts of the UK. Making people aware of what it was actually intended is proving incredibly difficult. My question is there some kind of invisibility or cloaking spell placed on this situation? And if so, what can we do to break it? Love the show and many thanks for all you do.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. The answer is yes. One of the biggest ways to fight fracking amongst the middle classes is to say it's going to destroy your house price. because unfortunately so many people don't really seem to get off their butts for polluted water, for polluted air, for poisoning of the environment. But hey, if their house price was going to drop by 20,000, they'd be soon writing to their member of parliament. So I think what you have to do is you have to look at the elements that are going to be affected by fracking in terms of a 3D perspective. The difficulty is, of course, that the previous prime minister, the Tory prime minister, he changed the rules so that it was nigh on impossible for any protesters to successfully challenge anything in the court. I know for a fact, and this is a question about North Yorkshire, that there was a concerted effort by the then government, which is again a conservative Tory government, to take apart the North York Moors authority. The North York Moors in North Yorkshire is a most beautiful, unspoiled area, and there are several of them around the country. And they have committees or managing boards that look after them that are independent from government. But they're not really, because where does their money come from? The money comes from government. So what happened was that there was a very interesting bit of pressure applied, which was, if you don't do this, we will reduce your funding and there'll be no North York Moors left in terms of a managing body. So the elite and the highest in the land, the highest elite who are behind the fracking, have got the control of just about everybody in this present government, and they've changed the law so that it's impossible now to fight against it, because they will just say, well, you're not going to get anywhere with it because there isn't a due process of law. It's been changed, even to the extent that if they want to tunnel under your house, they can do so. Previously to that, you could say, no, it could damage my foundations. The house could fall down. Now, they're unlikely to do that, but the law's even been changed. They don't even need your permission to do that. So this is what many people talk about when they talk about civil liberties being removed. It's actually more than civil liberties. It's actually the fundamental right to defend your planet and the well-being of your children and your grandchildren, simply because greed on one hand, and to destroy humanity's connection to source, never mind all the rivers that run on the surface of the planet. There are far more arterial waterways that run underneath, and they're the ones that carry all of the very special information that the planet is talking to itself. It's passing information through. And these evil Satanists, and that's what they are, they're Satanists. And they don't think like you and I. They're not motivated by the same things that motivate us. They are motivated by a hatred for anything that's living and anything that's pure. And that's what these people are. And their whole object is to prevent the Earth from developing, because they know as the Earth develops, we develop. So if there are so many billions of people, short of wiping 75% of us out, they decided that maybe the better way was to try and stop the Earth communicating with its populations. Maybe stop the Earth communicating. You know, and it's absolutely beyond words. I can't find human words to describe it. And I know that I'm not fully evolved, because I would string these people up. I would do. I don't care. People who are prepared to murder and kill and destroy, or try to destroy, this beautiful planet, can they be healed? Can they be re-educated? I'm not seeing much evidence of it. And I know that I should be really good and forgive and all the rest of it, and love is the greatest thing. But when you see something that you really love being hurt like this, then I find it anyway very difficult to forgive, but I know that I should. So the answer is, there is a spell. It's a spell that has been connected to authority. It's not money. It's the authority spell. Basically what happens is that all humans are indoctrinated to believe in hierarchy and to believe in authority. And it's very, very clever. I don't mean it's good. I just mean it's clever. And so you may remember that I talked a little bit about how these experiments were done with school children. So by the ages of 5, 6, and 7, they were already controlled into believing certain things from certain people. So what they've done is they've said the authority, the establishment, the people who know about these things have said this is good. It's good for jobs. It's good for the economy. And it will mean that rural areas which were on the decline will actually improve. All of that is lies. All of that is lies. All this will do is make maybe 3 men super rich. They're already super rich, but even more super rich. And it will harm the planet. So it is literally about people's glaze over. I'm talking about just your average person. They glaze over because it's, oh, you know, I've been told it's safe. I've been told it's a good thing. Yeah, but think about the jobs. If we campaign against it, think about the jobs. It's a bit like when I was in primary school, 1969 it will have been, and we had a debate in school. So I'd have been 10 years old, and we were debating about the Queen, because the Queen's been around so long, it's almost as long as Noah. And the question was, is the Queen good for Britain? And do you know what? So many of these 10-year-old kids, my classmates, were just regurgitating what their parents had told them, which was, and I quote, the Queen is good for tourism. End of story. Because we've got the Queen, we get all these Japanese, these Canadians, these Americans who all come over, spend thousands and thousands of dollars and stand there and photograph the Queen. Do you know what? If you took the Queen away tomorrow, and I would very happily take the Queen away tomorrow, those people are still come here. They just wouldn't line the streets and fawn and bend down and bow to somebody that really, you know, shouldn't really be in that position. So it's the spell of control through hierarchy and belief and what can be done about it. It's a Babylonian spell. And the only way it can be broken is with access to a media outlet. And I don't mean this wonderful radio show that we're blessed with. I'm talking about a large corporate media. Could be newspaper, could be anything. That is the only way that spell can be broken, because that is how the spell was enchanted onto people, through written word, through spoken word, and through visuals. We need a bigger revolution, frankly, than what we can achieve. You know, it's very sad that, you know, you can get some, no, I don't mean this disrespectfully, some 20-year-old girl who has had the spell of publicity put on her, and she stands out there in a stadium, and she jives about, and 20,000 people turn up and pay a huge exorbitant amount of ticket to watch an Illuminati message. If you can get 100 people to a demonstration about fracking, you've done well. You've done really, really well. Why is that? When, you know, one is so much more important than the other, and it's this spell, it's this control. So we need to understand that the system is in control. I don't care if people talk about, oh, we're breaking free. Well, we are, but where it comes to the 3D physicality, we're not. And this is why the steam engine is going, or the locomotive is going to hit the buffers fairly soon, because there are a large proportion of us that are just about sick of it, just about sick of the situation. So, nope, there's not much you can do at the moment. We've just got to wait for the bigger change to come, which hopefully isn't too far. So it's a really good question, and my heart does go out to you. You're doing a really good job. You were in the Whitby Gazette, I believe, or at least there was part of that in the Whitby Gazette. You know, this is what you've got to do. You've got to get this publicity. God bless you.
Fabulous. From Spencer. Oh, Spencer, yeah. Hello, Simon. What can you tell us about marijuana and cannabis oil as medicinal drugs? I've done some research, and in my opinion, both of them have excellent healing properties despite their reputation. This is, he feels, why they've been illegal for so long, because it would destroy the pharmaceutical industry and the profits associated with it. I heard of a woman who was diagnosed with nothing left. She began a cannabis oil regime, and now she's healthier than ever. Doctors can't explain it because they haven't been trained to work with this stuff. What's your opinion?
Right. The cannabis oil on its own is very good, but you have to have an energy signature with it. So you have to, if you just take the cannabis oil, which is, oh, this will make me good, it will. But if you actually are targeting a part of your body when you take it, and you work with the plant, then you will have a targeted, pinpointed effect. So someone who's got a tumor or something like that, you have to visualize it and target it and imagine it reducing. So if you just take it like a vitamin, then it will have a positive effect up to a certain point. But if you are taking it as part of your own healing program, then it will have a greater effect. The difficulty is that the vast majority of people, again, as part of the control system, have been programmed to believe in a man in a white coat. Of course, they're not in white coats anymore, but the guy who sits in an office with a stethoscope around him, that's what you do. You know, want to get better? That's where you go. It's dangerous to take anything unless it's been prescribed by a doctor. What did the doctor say? I myself use cannabis oil, but I don't take it very regularly because it's actually very strong. I find it very strong, but I've got it. The reason that it's available is because the elite use it. Now let's take some of the most highest in the land. I don't mean highest in terms of spirituality, of course not. You know what I mean. They're going to want it. Now they can't get it illegally, but they can. But why should they? All they've got to do is to pick up the telephone and say to whoever's the prime minister in their country, look here, old chap, I really want to be getting this, but it's not legal. Would you just change the law for me, old man? So they change the law, but they only have one outlet, or it's incredibly expensive. So only the elite, the well-off, can afford it. So this is what they do. That's why you can still buy toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it, because the elite need access to fluoride-free toothpaste. So there will always be these foods and things that are beneficial, but the price tag on them will be extortionate. And that's it. So look at something. If it's very expensive, it must be very good. If it's buyable, it's probably got lots of other nonsense with it, or the elite haven't yet discovered what it is. In other words, you know, people can find something and they can knock it out quickly, and it takes the elite a little while, the pharmaceuticals, to work out that actually this is having as good as or better effect than their drugs. And hey, they're not getting any profit from it, so they better stop them. The number of doctors who have allegedly committed suicide, the number of people experimenting, and I mean experimenting in terms of test tubes, trying to create some very holistic drugs who've just suddenly disappeared. This is the bit that the ordinary public just don't want to hear about. The fact that a pharmaceutical organization is some of the most insidious in the land. You know, you see reports in the newspaper of a very top drug, and the government says, oh my goodness me, £20,000 or $17,000 for a bottle. Well, we can't be giving that away. So this is in Britain, where healthcare is reasonably cheap, so it's subsidized, so we're not doing that. And then the health big pharmaceutical firm says, well, hang on a minute, we would have made huge profit. So what they do is they pick the telephone up, and you know what, you see it at least once every 2 to 3 years. Suddenly there's a report that they'll get one of their stooges. My mother died of cancer. If I'd had this drug, she'd be alive now. And they use this blackmail and it builds up in the press, and the press get behind it, and, oh, it's a postcode lottery. That's the word we get told a lot. If you live in this area, you get this drug. If you live there, you don't. So what do? Is they cave in, and then they prescribe it. What they're prescribing is no better or no worse than anything else they've ever had. It's just that this pharmaceutical company now is making a bigger profit. And one of the things that has got to change on this planet is this stranglehold that these corporations have. Pharmaceuticals are top of my list. Absolutely top of my list. You know, you could probably survive on a cucumber and you'd be a damn sight better than taking half these bloody drugs that these people give you. Friday is not a GMO cucumber. So it's a real, it's very close to my heart. And it's all part of the control system. So yeah. You're absolutely right.
I would also advise people to look up the word iatrogenic. I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C. You know what that word means, Simon?
No, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday. It means caused by doctors. Death caused by doctors. Yeah, so iatrogenic death is the highest, indeed, cause of death in America for certain. You know, there's this list, right? And doctors at the top, there's, and all right, right down at the bottom is like 5,000, that's guns. Just to put things into proportion.
Yes.
Just
quickly say that, you know, I'd love to get 1 million people and just give them the questions to say, why is it that if you're hit by a police car or ambulance, on a 999 call, on a 911 call, you have the right to start legal action against them and decide who was in the right and who was the wrong. But if your child dies of a vaccination, you have no right in law to take that company or the government to court for that. Now, why would they do that? How have they become so powerful that they can actually decide who the people can and cannot hold accountable? That's the situation, and that's why no wonder for the last 20 years the term sheeple, the sheep, has been so prominent. Because we, and I'm including myself in this, we have allowed these people to take positions of responsibility because we trusted them. And they have not just abused the position, but they've actively worked against the human race. Sometimes they do it because they are forced to. Sometimes they do it because they want to. But the end game, the end result there for them, is that they have put themselves in a privileged position at the expense of other people who they consider don't matter. That's what we need to change, because everybody matters. You know, we're not just an individual on this planet who's got a bit of money in their pocket, therefore we can sell you something. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We want to sell you this, or we want to take this money off you. And that's it. You get paid. If you're lucky, you've got a job, you get paid. And then for the rest of the 7 days or whatever it is before you get paid again, you're watching the money go. And you have no choice in it. I have to pay this. I have to pay that. And that's all humanity has been reduced to on this planet. It makes a bit of money. It has to give it away. So these corporations, these large organizations, they are the most poisonous to the human race. They're much worse than any individuals. They are an organization as a whole that needs to change. We know for a fact, don't we, that we call it corporate America. It's not the president and the Senate and the Congress that run America. It is the corporations. And the sad thing is that they've been allowed to get that position. Right, so that's me. Yeah.
So look, final question from Martin, who's going to be on the show later, on the feedback show. So he's talking about, he's got a problem remembering detail and names, but also short-term memories too. Sometimes his memories completely vanish and then come back later. However, if our experiences and knowledge are adding to the collective, are we not losing them, but just losing the method of accessing them? So the question is, how and why are a lot of us losing our memories, if it's good or bad? Should we embrace it, or fight against this change? Should we try and, like, you know, hold things in our memory or just kind of...
Right. Well, if we're sharing something, there's no reason why we would lose it. You know, if I have, let's bring it back to 3D world, if I have a penny in my pocket and I give it to somebody, then I can remember I had the penny, but I don't have it anymore. But if I share it, then I should continually have connection with it. So just because maybe we're uploading information to somewhere doesn't mean that we should necessarily lose it. I would suggest that that's a bad thing. I think we have the right to know. If something has happened to us, and it's very interesting because I've been having some very useful information today. If you don't remember or you haven't got certain information, but it occurred to you, your physical body, or your soul, then you have a right to know that. You know, it happened around you. You have a right to know that. So I think it's a bad thing if you don't remember. Sometimes we don't remember because there's a clock ticking, and at a later date we get those memories back. Sometimes we hide those memories ourselves because they were too traumatic. A lot of people who've had, you know, ritual abuse, satanic abuse, will themselves hide it. Sometimes the perpetrators have the ability to hide that. So on balance, to answer the question, I think we need to fight to have our memories and we need to fight to regain them, even if to do so is to upset ourselves or shock ourselves, because is it not better to know the truth and live in the truth than to be like an ostrich and say, well, I'd rather not know, and go through life actually not knowing? Because there are other people that know. There are other people that know what you've done or what's happened to you. So why shouldn't you know? So my answer to you is fight for your memories. Worth having. Thank you.
A great point to end on. Simon, enjoy your sellotape and bubble wrap experience.
Listen, before we quickly go, I just want to thank everyone. Don't worry, I'll be back in 2 weeks, but I just want to thank everyone. It's my last broadcast from Whitby, down on the main hill. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody, for their support, their kindness, their love. And I'm sorry that I didn't do my usual mention of people who've supported me. You know, they did support me, but it was just 1 hour show. I'll do so in 2 weeks' time. So just, yeah, you know, let's just keep at it now. So thanks ever so much, everybody.
Simon, the in 2 weeks is the fifth Sunday of October. And then there's another one. So, yeah, do you want to do an hour show then or something?
No, I don't. I tell you, no, all simply right, because I am going to be like king of the castle of cardboard boxes, mm-hmm, and I guess it's going to take me a long time to unwrap them. If I have a little bit of leeway, okay, what I might do, if anything urgent, and it is quite possible, something, I'll just do a quick little update.
Yeah, you could always call me and, you know, just set the recorder going we'll be offline and I can play it later.
If I get some heads up on something, and it's quite possible, as we go into the end of October, November, we might, then I will definitely do that. But otherwise, no, I'll just be very grateful for the extra time just to try and get a semblance of order.
Simon Thank Parks. You. Good night.
Good night.